Raymond, enjoy your day on Sky Sports Radio. It's time now to join Greg Radley in Perth, Ron Duffercy and Nick Ashman with a special 90-minute simulcast of Australia's favourite racing rat with special guest Gary Moore, Thoroughbred Weekly.
Hello everyone and welcome to Thoroughbred Weekly. As you can see, we are still in Perth. The sun is coming up at 6 a.m. with the celebrations after the race from Gary Moore when his big horse takedown took out the feature race. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to have a chat to Gary Moore this morning. But first of all, I want to go straight to Sydney and say hello to Ron Duffercy and Nick Ashman. You wouldn't have liked it over here yesterday, boys. It was a stinking 37 degrees. You would have been much more comfortable at Rosehill.
I would have loved to have been over there, Greg, to watch all those scenes there at Ascot. I did see them on the TV, and wow, the gentle giant. How brave was he? He sits outside the lead, and you know he's always going to give his all. Rosehill Gardens, well, Matthew Dunn, again, another highway. And he brings a filly, a mare across as well, down as well, a Madotti, who was pretty good and an improver as well. And Chris Waller had a good day here as well with three winners. Don't know whether the punters liked it because a couple of the blowouts were his horses.
Yeah, and a little bit of controversy, as Ray Warren would say, in the stewards' room. They hauled in Tommy Berry for his ride in the second, but found there was nothing untoward there, and rightfully so too. I think he would have clipped the heels of Blake Shin had he gone in. And a bit later in the day, they've adjourned an inquiry into Nick Hayward's ride in the last on Secret Trail, just concerned with his lack of vigour over the concluding stage.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, have a chat, bit more of a chat.
All right. Well, it was SF again, Duff. SF over here.
Yeah, always.
We had to bring it all the way to Perth.
Yeah, exactly.
Sydney form. Darren McCauley called the Winterbottom Stakes yesterday, and it would have been a thrill, I'm sure, to call that race.
Good morning, thank you. Yes, it certainly was. We've been lucky to have so many high-class sprinters, and this fellow here, I think, may have used the Winterbottom Stakes to his absolute ultimate advantage yesterday by winning the Winterbottom Stakes, as Hortensia has done in the past, as Buffering has done in the past, and gone on and really made a name for themselves on the international stage.
Well, the man of the moment, he stole the show here, more than the horse, Gary Moore. How did you celebrate? Have you come down off cloud nine? Because that was a pretty high cloud there yesterday.
I'm still on the cloud nine, but I had a very easy evening, and we plan to celebrate in Hong Kong.
Okay, so a delayed celebration.
Delayed celebrations, but still had a few glasses of sake with my meal, and it was something special.
And have a look at the shorts. Have a look at that. Was that Nick Ashman? You tried to wear them once, and the management said you couldn't.
Oh, they told me to go back to bed, Greg. They said no pajamas on the floor.
That's fashion, don't you know fashion?
Unbelievable. Now, what goes through your mind? You've won a big race, and you do this. You've done it twice in Sydney when he won the shorts and the premiere. You take off, you jump the fence, and you run to meet your horse.
Yeah, well, it was such a great day, and you know, these days are hard to come by, especially when you've just returned from another racing jurisdiction like Macau. And you know, I'd always admired what Chris Waller said to me when I came back to Australia. He said, "Look, I don't know how good a trainer you are, but it's still going to take you 2 years to accomplish, you know, or win a Group 1 here in Australia." And I was just a couple of weeks shy of that 2 years.
What were you thinking on the home turn, Gary? Did you think he could do it?
I did. I knew that I had the horse spot on for the day. Like Mum and Dad used to tell me, you're not on the job. So I thought I'd better come here over on the Wednesday, and I followed him right through to the race. And I knew on Friday night I had him right where he could win. I gave him a very big feed, increased his oats intake and corn, and he had a lot of energy, and I just watched the professionals here because it was very warm, and just backed off on his work, and he strode out well, and I could see that the horse was spot on to win my first Group 1 in Australia.
Now, that is an important point to make. We've had a hot week here in Perth, so you would have had to change things around just to get him through it.
Well, that's the art of training. I mean, when I went out on Friday to give him a walk with my lass who looks after him, I could see nobody else was here. So I thought, well, it's not a good idea to stay out that too long. And, I mean, going into yesterday's race, I put a plan forward that I hosed him at 3 o'clock, walked him over to the track by the time he was dry, and then I said to the young lady, we're going to hose him again at about 3:40 and keep his body cool. And by the time we put the saddle on, he was dry, he was happy, even though he was being attacked by a few flies, but we used fly spray. So, I mean, a lot of ideas went into this win, and we've done it. So it seems to have worked.
Mm. Yep, the percentages. That's how you have to play them, isn't it? When you're travelling like that, and all of the different little idiosyncrasies of a different racing jurisdiction, and it may be observing the trainers and how they handle their own horses, you can quickly pick up on things to your advantage.
Well, that's what I learned in such a short time. I knew we were going to have a 37 yesterday. So we had to have that takedown in a good frame of mind. His body wasn't overheated, and Tim Clark gave him a great ride.
Mm. It's a big body to overheat as well, isn't it?
Isn't it? What?
He's a massive horse.
How much more does he eat than the average horse?
He eats a big feed, but I just want to point out that when I had him in Melbourne, he got away from me because he was 625 kilos. He came up the stretch at his last run. He looked heavy. He looked big in the enclosure before the race. So after Melbourne, my main goal was to get his feed intake right and get him down to about 6.16, 6.17, which he was yesterday.
Have you seen these pictures?
Well, I just wish I had a bit more hair, that's all.
Now, you gave your hat away.
I might have to get a toupee next time. No, it was great. He accepts all these accolades as well, so he didn't move much. And I thought what was great is, you know, I got the public into it, and they got up very close to the horse, and I think it's so important to, you know, to have people enjoy racing these days.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to accomplish from it, by having people admire such a great racehorse.
Do you have a friend who's a milliner, by any chance?
I've never known
anyone who gives away more hats.
I don't buy Burberry's hats yet. Maybe when I might buy one for Hong Kong.
Because Duff would love a hat, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd love a hat. But Gary, remember, going back a while now, you took him down to a low off-season maiden there at Kembla Grange, and you've run into Exosphere and Mogador.
I remember it very well, Duff. I mean, when he first walked into the stable, he'd come from a breaker at Scone, and my staff went, well, what an awful-looking horse, and he did look that way, you know, being 17 hands and weighing 600-plus kilos. But, I mean, after watching him a few days on the track, I knew I had something. He was very light on his feet, good mover. And that's what you have to have. You have to have a good eye. And once I started to work him along, he left a nice impression. And then I decided to trial him. And I said to Anthony Thompson of Widden and Rob Anderson, I think this horse goes okay. And then I trialed him. He ran second last. And they called me and said, you're an awful judge. So next time we trialed him, I put the blinkers on him. And he ran second. And I thought, well, we'll take him for an easy kill, like you mentioned, down Kembla Maiden. And we run into a multiple Group 1 winner in Exosphere. Went to Hawkesbury, won, and then he's third up, he's won the Black Opal. So, you know, for a big horse, he's done a lot as a two-year-old, and he's a clean-limbed horse. Then he had that wind infirmity and operated on, and he hasn't looked back since we've done the tie-back.
Is this a watershed victory in the Winterbottom Stakes yesterday? Is this the door that opens for you to go international with him? Because you've held him in such high regard.
Well, it does. Look, I rode at Royal Ascot, and I think it'd be the perfect element for Royal Ascot. I mean, it's undulating. He's tough. As you saw yesterday, he never gives up when he comes under heavy pressure. But, I mean, you know, we've got to get Hong Kong over first. Last night I received an invitation from Dubai Racing to come over and run in the Alquez, the 1,200-metre yeah. race. But, you know, he looks well in the coat. And like I said, he's only had five runs this prep, so I think there's still a little bit more left in him. But I know he's going to tell us, and I'm sure that he won't let Australia down on the international scene in Hong Kong.
So what's the process now to get him to Hong Kong from Perth?
That is an issue, but being a horse with a great constitution, he'll fly from Perth to Melbourne tomorrow night, and then we'll decide if he's going to stay in Melbourne at Danny O'Brien's stable, who's been very kind to look after the horse and my good self. And then we'll fly him to Hong Kong, either out of Sydney or Melbourne. But that decision will be made in the next 24 hours.
And that's the springboard from the Winterbottom into the Alquaz. Hortensia was able to achieve that. She won the Winterbottom Stakes. They gave her a little break, and then she appeared up there in March and was too good for them. So this is the ideal springboard.
Mm. That's a very good point. But also I'd like to point out, when the entries or nominations were decided by the Hong Kong Jockey Club on Wednesday, and we didn't get an invite, which was, you know, we were a Group 1 winner. Mm. He was, like I said earlier, he's one of the best sprinters here in Australia, but he wasn't a Group 1 winner. And then I thought, well, we'll just come here and win the winter bottom.
We'll just come here and win the winter bottom. It's as easy as that.
And then we'll probably spell and get him ready for the TJ. But anyway, on Thursday night, got the call up from the Hong Kong Jockey Club, and it's a great honour, and I'm just so happy for them that Takedown's going into their race as a Group 1 winner.
Gary, can I just ask you how important, significantly, obviously, your first Group 1 in this country, but to have done it at Ascot Racecourse, because it holds a special place in your heart, this venue.
Well, in two ways it does. I mean, my last ride in Australia was for the late Peter Hayes. I rode in the Perth Cup for him on a horse called Dark Sire, ran fifth. And I also came over here on an invitation a few years earlier and had a fall and broke my collarbone. So it's been a track that I know fairly well.
And they did used to run the George Moore Quality here as well in honour of your dad.
That's a great honour. I'm very, very honoured to know that.
Mm. Have you spoken to your brother in Hong Kong?
No, not really. I think he might be away and maybe didn't have the time. And I mean, the telephones have been running hot. Social media has been just absolutely fantastic. And I'm very grateful to all the fans throughout Australia with all their best wishes, well wishes.
There's three things that Gary Moore learned yesterday, Greg.
Okay. What are they?
And I noted them down.
I think one's to go to the gym.
Well, I think he's alluding to that.
As I sat up in the broadcast box observing your performance, which was vintage.
Yes.
A never to be seen again performance. I noted these down, the three things that you learned yesterday. You're getting a little too old to be running, skipping and jumping like Dorothy off The Wizard of Oz. The second is that the Ascot Rise is not a myth. It's much higher than what you'd even recall when you were riding here. And I'll take up your point, you're not as fit as you thought you were, and it's a long way back to the mounting yard from the 1900s.
I think I go better right-handed anyway.
Was there any danger of doing a hamstring yesterday?
No, I think I'm too old for that, but I'll try and find, like I said to the listeners on radio, I said it would be spectacular, but I'm sort of running out of a sideshow at the moment.
Yeah. Well, we were all ready for it. As soon as he hit the line, I looked around, and where is he? And next minute, shoom, straight onto the track. Couldn't catch her.
No, I mean, it's a Group 1, and it's very special, and, you know, next thing we've got to do, we've got to sort of get onto a good two-year-old, and I think that'll really put the stable on the map. And, in fact, I think the best two-year-old I've got, he's an English graduate. It cost $600,000, and he's by Stratum.
Right. So the future's looking good. The stable is building as you'd like it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I haven't had to rely on my brother so much this year. I've got a lot of more clients over the past 6 to 8 months. And, you know, I train for the biggest stud farms in Australia with Whitten and Arrowfield. I mean, I thought my first Group 1 winner would be with a filly called Baccarella. She ran second at Group 2 level, but unfortunately she went wrong. So I've had to rely on my kingpin and Takedown, and he's done the job for me.
And one last thing, your jockey, Tim Clark, he rode Ascot yesterday as good as Pike or Harvey or any of the great jockeys that have been here.
I mean, great jockeys, like I won a lot of races by doing the same as what Tim did yesterday, and I mean, and only a world-class rider can do it. I mean, when I said to him, have you ever ridden around Perth before? And he's been Ascot before. And he said, no. I said, wow. And then he's come out and won the first two races. So it just shows what a great rider he is. He's got great personality. And I think he utterly deserves to be champion jockey of Australia for the year 2016 and 2017.
We're going to let you go. You've got to go and check on the horse and you've got to catch a plane home. So thanks for coming in so early.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's an honour to be here. And I look forward to coming back next year with hopefully a horse with the same ability as Takedown.
That'd be great. One final question. Yeah. Are they boxers or boardies?
I'm going to the beach when I get up to cool off.
Gary Moore, stay with us on Thoroughbred Weekly. We'll be back with more Perth and, of course, Sydney still to come.
Derby Racing for the ultimate racing experience, turning your dreams into reality. Now on offer, a filly by champion sire Exceed and Excel, sire of Group 1 winning fillies Guelph, Overreach and Earthquake. Out of Girls Night, this filly is directly related to Reduce Choice, Alma Her, Hurricane Sky and He's No Paeda, and will hold enormous residual value after racing. To be trained by Gay Waterhouse, this precocious filly looks a real golden slipper prospect. For more information, visit derbyracing.com.au. Derby Racing for the ultimate racing experience.
We're here for the life-changing goals, the lifelong goals. goals and the long life goals. So wherever you're at and whatever your goal, AMP is here to help you explore, plan, track, and most importantly, realize your goals so you can own a better tomorrow.
The winners keep rolling in for our team of tipsters. Gary Harley.
Hanover Square, Strata Lodge, here they come to the post. Bobby B, Strata Lodge.
Fickle Folly needs the line. Fancy Knickers is surging at it. Fickle Folly gripping on from Fancy Knickers. Got in.
Libby Hopwood.
Flash Vivian and Louboutin. It's Gibraltar Girl and Flash Vivian. Flash Vivian going to Gibraltar Girl and Flash Vivian got the money.
Sky Racing Tipsters, finding winners on race day.
Okay, welcome back. We're live from Perth here on Thoroughbred Weekly. Sun's coming up. That, of course, is... I now know where the east is now. West, I mean. Where's it come up? The east. Here it is, the east.
It rises in the east.
East, and east.
It sets magnificently in the west.
And the coast is that way.
Well, over here.
Anyway. Mm. Duff and Nick, we're going to play this Winterbottom from the home turn again to get your thoughts. There are a number of runs worth pointing out there. We've covered the winner, but there was so much more to talk about, guys.
Mm. Oh, look, the horse I want to point out is the horse running last, the horse called State Solicitor. You could make a little case that he should have nearly won the race, got held up at an awkward stage and lost momentum, had to duck back to the inside. He's dead set stamped himself, if he hadn't, prior to this, as a very, very exciting prospect. There's no doubt about it. But look, the story's all about the winner, isn't it? But Scheidel, she's a bonny mare. She tried hard. What else can you say? You know, Rock Magic had those problems with the feet coming into the race, so it wasn't an ideal there.
No. Mulberry got held up a little bit.
Yeah, he got held up on the point of the turn there, didn't he?
Yeah, Greg, was there any, and Darren, was there any wash-up with Terra Vista?
No, I didn't get a chance to speak to Joey Pridey. I think he just got a little bit of a bump towards the home turn.
And he switched off so quickly.
He just stopped. Mm. Yeah. It was way out of character.
The runs of the West Aussie horses there in behind Takedown and Scheidel, the performance of Rock Magic and the effort of Chris Gangemi and the team, they had concerns. They had to put a bar plate on the horse. He just quartered himself at his stable earlier on in the week. I know it was precautionary, but those little things that can occur can just put you behind the eight ball, you know, a couple of percent. But to, I guess, come back and produce that big finishing run, because his performances have been outstanding, and we knew that First Among Equals had no luck at all in a couple of runs leading into that race yesterday. So to steam home the way that he did late, Simon Miller's got him really flying along. He just needs a bit of luck. And I do certainly agree with Duff in regards to State Solicitor. This horse has come out of restricted company. He'd never even raced in a listed event, let alone a Group 1, and to do that suggests that he has got an enormous future, as we've already been talking about during the week. Having won 6 of his first 7, I think we'll be hearing a lot more of him.
We thought he might be good, but we just couldn't line him up because he had met no opposition. But now he has, and he's up to it. So they'll look after him in that stable.
Absolutely.
And we might see him in the east one day. We'll go to the... by the way, Timmy Clark's going to join us a little bit later in the show. He's going to pop in here on his way to the airport. Let's go back to the Tab Touch Tattersall's Cup and a win by Respondent. Now, to set this race up, Respondent defeated It's a Him in the WA Derby. And Respondent hadn't won since. Fred Kersley trained It's a Him. So he was a bit dirty. He didn't win the Derby that year. He didn't train Respondent at the time. Mm-hmm. But now he does train Respondent. This was the third run for the stable, so a little bit of payback for Fred Kersley here.
Yeah, it is, because, as we well know, Bob Peters does have a dispersal of some of his horses. Sam Trimboli, a very colourful owner, very much in the, enthusiastic mould of Gary Moore.
Yeah?
Yeah, he decided that he would buy Respondent. Fred trains the horse, and that was his third run only for Fred. And, of course, he got home over the top of a horse that would have no doubt... being a stablemate, I think, for memory at the time.
Yeah.
So a great result for Sam Trimboli, Fred Kersley, and he's on his way now, of course, towards the Perth Cup, hopefully.
All right, well, let's hear from the legend himself, Fred Kersley.
I'm really pleased that after 959 days he's found a way of winning, and I have very strong memories of the day he beat me in the Derby with It's a Hymn, so he's paid me back a little bit. Look, he's a horse, I think it's more mental and physical with him about how he approaches his races. I think it's only his fifth career win, but he's banked a fair bit of money, and you know, he's obviously a talented horse that's probably a little bit unreliable.
What did you do after that last run? Because as I mentioned, when we did the form lines there, you just had to throw it out the gate and go, who knows what we're going to see now? Because the first up run was a brilliant performance. So what did you feel like coming to this run? Was there any confidence? Had you seen enough at home, or did you have clueless like we were?
The second run just threw me. I mean, I went home and wondered what I could have done wrong to cause him to go that ordinary. And I thought he should have won the first up. And I thought, well, maybe that's just him and you know, he's got a habit of running an odd good one, but I'm so pleased that he's found a way of winning. And, you know, I think It's a him went through a similar pathway, not winning for near 2 years. And this horse and him, as we said, fought out the Derby, but, you know, good to have him back. So happy.
Chrissy, you've just broken a very long drought. Did you think you'd got there?
Yeah, I thought I'd got there just on the line, but I wasn't overly confident because I thought I got the last one as well. So good to get a win. Had a bit of a rough trot since I've come back to Perth, but good to get a winner.
Welcome home, Chris. Well done.
Thanks, Louise.
The only observation I can take out of that race is the Kiora Katu is a dour stayer, and I don't know whether there's enough 2,400 plus races for him in Perth. He's a real dour horse, Perth, that third horse, isn't
Perth
it?
Cup.
Yeah, well, that's a mile and a half now, isn't it? So.
Yeah. Zarance, I thought I had no luck as well. Bowman aboard, back on the rail. Might be one to follow next time out.
Yeah, no luck at all, Zarance. He got held up. I wasn't sure what he would have to offer when he got out, but he never got out. Well, he was going out of the railway stakes up into a 2,100 off 7 days, so it was always going to be a pretty tall order for him to be able to win that particular race. So, look, the jury's out a bit here with Zarance, but I'll take up Duff's point about Kiora Kutu. Coming towards the home corner, you would have seen there that as a party, had him under enormous pressure. He wanted to come off the bit very quickly. Yes. And then in the straight, I thought he was a shot duck, really, at the top of the straight. But the way that he finished off, it takes us back to that very good three-year-old season in which he ran third in the Group 1 Victoria Derby. So, look, I think the mile and a half is going to be perfect. It might even be a touch too short because he looks as though he'll just stay all day.
Let's go to the Mont Champagne Crystal Slipper Stakes. This is the $100,000 race for the two-year-olds. And Keeper Keen had one on debut. It sat back on the rails and didn't go round a horse, sprinted very quickly. Well, he drew wide yesterday and he had to sit up outside the leader and do it a bit tough, so he saw another side to keep a keen. Bit versatile, this two-year-old.
I like him. Very, very good to do that in two starts. Show a couple of different attributes. One, sit up, kick really quickly. Two, do some bullet work, showed some real grit. This horse who runs second, and there's only a half an inch between them, Riask had trialled super. I thought it was the danger to Keeper Keen yesterday. They came away. Look at the gap back to the others. There's daylight there, third, and then back to fourth, fifth and sixth, respectively. But this horse here, I think, they may have a fair bit of fun with, because the mother was a Karakata class filly. She was very good, placed in a Group 2 Karakata plate, and Dan Pearce trained her. I think this horse has got early signs of the capabilities to go one better than his mother.
Did you bring the air guard?
I didn't bring the air guard. That's a trap for old players, isn't it, down here at the race course?
Let's hear from Dan Pearce, trainer, and also Jared Noski.
There was so much to like about that first up performance, the way that he was able to attack the line, but now to show us that diversity and ability to adapt, sit on the speed, do some work early and do it at both ends, another big tick for you as this guy moves forward.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive, and they were two totally different wins, so it shows his versatility and he's got a lot of upside.
Were you surprised by how easy he was able to get up to the outside of the sit outside the leaders?
Oh, he's got a fair bit of toe, and we sort of ride our horses a little quieter in their trials and like to have them come from the second half of the field. And I just find that gives them a bit of scope, but it also educates them, but they do have that other option.
So far, the two starts, although they've been brilliant, you've been dictated to by the barriers. What's the best way to ride this guy?
I'm not sure. They both look good.
Yeah, certainly. You can't complain when you're getting the job done. Where to now? Bit of a spell, or do you keep putting money in the bank?
Look, we'll just have a look. We'll just take it day by day with two-year-olds, and the welfare of the horse is always paramount for us. So we'll just assess how he pulls up from this and move forward.
A strong win, Jared. You fought on hard.
Yeah, he did it today. He did it the hard way today. Got an easy run last start, but he's proven today how good he is, and I was wrapping him.
Were you confident with him at the top of the straight?
Not really, to tell you the truth. I could hear Chris coming, and he was travelling okay, but didn't feel like I had a whole lot there. He just kept finding and finding for me, so credit to him.
The only thing I see out of that race, for those two geldings, is it just come down to race experience in the finish. The one horse that had a run, one horse is having his first start. They both look above average, don't they?
What did you, any more comments out of that?
Well, I did like Keeper Keen on that first up performance. I think any two-year-old that can quicken up after being held up in on the fence and lengthen over 150 metres like he did suggests that he has a really good future. I also like the second horse in Reask, and Simon Miller has got a pretty high opinion of the Hinchinbrook filly Rubia Miss, who came out there. She had a first start yesterday and I thought she acquitted herself really, really well. The big improver on its first up run after some encouraging trials it got back and did nothing was Miss Valeur, and she was at pretty big odds yesterday for that race, so she could be one also once she gets out to 1,200-1,400 later on down the track, worth following.
Yeah, well done to Lucy Warwick too. She was on the pony yesterday. She's only done that a couple of times. I think that was the third day out there yesterday. She comes from a great racing family with Dad Justin and her grandfather, the great Trevor Warwick.
That's right. Not forgetting her mother, Carol, is also a great equestrian herself, so she's always had that great equine background behind her. I think she's enjoying her media role. She's learning as she goes along. Another aspect to it, because she had given the riding away. I sense, though, that Lucy could well be back riding early in 2017.
She wants to come back riding. She's riding work, but she wants to come back riding as well.
Yeah, she just had a few little weight issues when she came back from a European holiday, and who doesn't, and wanted to just see where life was going to take her. Became a bit frustrated with the number of rides. She was a perfectionist. Things didn't go her way in a couple of races, so she got a bit down on herself there and decided to call it quits there and then. Justin and Carol, I think, assisted her make that call, and I think it's been the best thing for her. And getting out there on the pony and being involved still in the racing, I think, has been important. But I think with her weight, she's got it down to 55.5, I was told yesterday.
She's lighter than what she was when she was riding.
So there's a fair chance that we'll see the very talented Lucy Warwick back in the colours once again.
Let's have a look at the Kingston Town Market now. Next Saturday, of course, we're back here in Perth with another Group 1, another million-dollar race, 1,800 metres this time, and perfect reflection, the $4.20 favourite in front of the Railway Winner, Scales of Justice, McIntosh, Carwee. A lot of people talking about the unlucky Kiwi. Good project. Vanbrugh will be added to the Waller team, and you've got Tradesman, and Stratum Star is coming across as well. So this is looking like a very good renewal of the Kingston Town.
I think it is, yes. It's a terrific race here at Wait for Age, and I'm certainly looking forward to seeing Carwee be given an equal opportunity. He really hasn't had the best of luck. He lobbed here a few days before the Lestia Stakes, and he carried weight. He copped a 37-degree welcome, which wasn't really favourable for a Kiwi horse coming here, let alone any other horse. And the race was run terribly upside down. I thought his effort in the Railway Stakes was particularly good. They're not far behind them at all. And 1,800 weight for age, I think we'll start to see the very best of this multiple Group 1 Kiwi winner.
OK, let's take a break. And when we come back, Duff and Nick Ashman will dissect the Rose Hill program from yesterday.
Love a bet, then we bet you'll love this. We've got jackpots and specials coming your way every week. Check out tab.com.au to see what's on offer and place a bet you'll never forget. Tab, we love a bet.
He's interviewed the biggest names in the Australian racing industry. Tuesday, join Ray Thomas for the best of one-on-one from champion jockeys.
They're once in generation horses. He's a very special animal.
As it turned out, I think I'm still trying to give a horse a better ride.
To champion trainers.
One stage there was 12 Group 1 winners standing out the back of his house.
We do have a spit and polish every now and again, but you just move on.
He was very dominant. That was a good memory.
The best of one-on-one with Ray Thomas, 7:30 Tuesday. Sky Racing Tipsters, getting big results.
Bontemps just in front of Maharaj and Bontemps, they hit it. Photo and a real tidy. Close the beaches over the top of them. Sporting Page right on the peg, got the money.
Mark Guest, finding winner after winner.
From last to first, it's Yassie Sun. Bill Champagne's making a mess of them. Sir Sagamore goes home to win. Bolamu has got up to beat Casino Holic.
Sky Racing Tipsters.
We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. We're going to launch into Rose Hill now, and starting with race number one, boys, 1,400 metres for three-year-olds. Only a small field. Zumbelina Duff remains unbeaten this preparation, 3 out of 3.
Good filly. I know it's only a four-horse field, but I don't think it's a bad field. She's big, strong. She's got quality. In a bit of an awkward spot there, but he stayed cool on a Hutchings, and she just asserted her superiority. She's a filly that I think will be freshened now, and they'll be aiming for a bit of black type for her, and so they should. Fiery Trail led up, boxed on well. Cuttigan, he's just not hitting the line. They tried blinkers on him yesterday. He made a move which he had to have duller and looked like a really good move because he nearly shut the door. Well, he did shut the door on the favourite, but he's just not hitting the line, that horse. Now look, the other runner in the race there, Gold Artesian, he's eligible for a Class 1. I reckon he can come back to a midweek race and win as well. Four runners, I don't think it was a bad race, Nick.
No, not at all. I don't want to take anything away from the filly that won, but I did expect Fiery Trail to go out and at least build a tempo from the 800 and make her carry that 60 kilos. And he was the horse coming back from the mile run. He probably had a better fitness base going into the race, and I would have liked to have seen him roll along from the 600. That's the only addition I can say there.
Okay, well, let's hear from Chris Waller and the winning jock, Rory Hutchings.
Just a pleasure to train horses like her. Things didn't really go against her today, but I guess she had to accelerate with the big weight and get herself out of her little position, but it was pretty painless.
I mean, we'd all like to think she's a black tie filly down the track, but in at the right time of year to put together 150 grand for the owners, it's not bad.
Yeah, exactly right. And obviously, yeah, one run at a time, you just keep steadily building that bank balance, and it's not just about listed and group racing, and it's like I say it every week, the prize money we're now racing for makes every race a listed race of what other parts of Australia are running for.
An improvement from her last win. She's only going to go up from here. Look, it's a similar field to last time, but she's gone up in weight. It was a funny sort of a run race. I wanted to get back and sort of come around them a bit and take bad luck out of the equation, but I was going too good on the corner that she travelled right up and behind them and bustled her way through a gap and balanced up, and she pulled them away in probably two strides.
Yeah, look, I think the plan is possibly to go to the PJ Bell and the car, those back end of the autumn races for this filly, and then she might, you know, pop up to Queensland.
Okay, now controversy in race number two. Serena Bay gets a narrow win, but all the talk was about Tommy Berry and his ride right near the post. Did he stop riding, boys?
Yeah, well, I'm sure he did. He didn't stop riding. He just stopped. He was trying to straighten him up because he was. You'll see he pulls the whip through there. He's a raw two-year-old who, having his first start, he's got those winkers on at his first start here, and he's just wandering all over the place. But look, take nothing away from the winner here, Serena Bay. She's 2 from 2. She was 900 to 1100. You'll see Tommy here. You think he's coming to win, and then it looks bad side on. But when you identify the head-on vision, Nick, it's not so bad. You know, he's riding to probably keep his license. If he doesn't straighten, he gets suspended. It's as simple as that. You'll see Ipso Factor on his heels late.
Well, the thing is that it's against the rules to cross another horse unless you're 2 lengths clear, and he wasn't 2 lengths clear. So he's had a couple of suspensions lately, Tommy. He's had a couple of fines as well. And as he said, look, you know, I'm trying to ride to play with the rules. And had he kept on riding that horse out, yes, he might have got the cash, and the punters that were on Reflectivity would have been happy, but it would have cost him another holiday.
There's huge rats on that Florid going into that race, who sat outside the lead and seemed to travel like the winner. Abdullah just said he didn't know how to let down and put him away. I would not give up on him there, and there was a couple of other good runs as well. Allied Power will be better when he gets to 1,200 metres, and even the stablemate of the winner, Cormel, goes okay.
I thought Allied Power might be a Queensland winter horse, that type of thing, just a little bit more time up in trip, 1,300, 1,400 metres.
He was the right tip going into the race, I can tell you. He was very confidently.
I don't think way out wide, you say. Not many horses came
maybe
way
not.
Out wide, did
maybe
they?
Not.
All right. The mother of Serena Bay was trained over here by Fred.
Kaiguna. Yeah, that's exactly right. Kaiguna won a Natasha Stakes, so she was a pretty handy horse.
didn't quite get to the top of her potential, I didn't think, there, but she was raced by Karen John McGrath, who are well known, of course, over here in WA. So a good result for them. In fact, it was a good day all round for a number of West Australian owners, particularly in Melbourne.
Okay, let's hear from Adrian Bott and also Kira McAvoy.
She did it very tough. She bowled along at a good tempo and she was challenged very early in the straight. She fought them off and she had to hang on late, but she was very tough.
So much can be said for race experience with these two-year-olds. She'd been there before and done it. I'm not sure how fit she was first up, but whatever she did first up, better for today.
I think that was the absolute key today, as you said, the race experience. She jumped, she put herself right in the race, she cornered well and she quickened nicely. She knew exactly what she was doing today, and that first race start took her a long way, and that's exactly why we like to take them down there, to give them that confidence, to give them that experience so they can come here on the big days and do it all right when it matters.
Straight to the front.
Yeah, she did it nicely at Kembla doing that, so it was always trying to make advantage of the inside draw there today. She didn't step great, but we were able to muster through nicely.
You had the Godolphin Colt on your outside. He sort of looked to be going along, or you both looked to be going along at quite a good tempo.
Yeah, it was swift enough tempo, and my filly just laid out a little bit around the bend, and she laid out a little bit in the straight, so there's improvement to come from her with her manners. Today's ground was probably quick enough for her as well, quick enough for the two-year-olds. It's riding like summer ground out there, so she's a filly that can keep improving, I reckon, now.
OK, let's move on to race number three, 1800 benchmark 76, and a blowout for punters here in a tight finish, Duff.
Well, I don't know where he pulled this form from, the rumour file. He had no form really going into the race.
I'll tell you where he pulled it from, but I can't say it on air.
It was a nice, patient ride by Josh, no pressure ride. He just relaxed him back on the rail. They went along at a fair speed up front, and look, it was a very, very deceptive finish, this one. When they get wide apart here at Rose Hill Gardens, you just got to tack that little bit extra onto these outside horses. Hunter Jack, who had specking, looked all over a winner here. Shelman Ice is battling on well there. And look, he's got there. It doesn't look like it, but it was a narrow decision in front of for the rumour file. Hopefully he can hold that form now, because he's had none really coming into that. That win there yesterday has come from nowhere. He was the bolter of the field, untouched in betting, was dead absolute skinner for the bookies. Old mate Balmain boy, well, he can go for a spell now, and couldn't say much about the others. But just a forgetful race for the punters, you would say.
Yeah, absolutely. He was just a huge blowout. One of two long-priced winners for the Waller Stable yesterday.
Mm.
All right, let's hear from the winning jock, Josh Parr.
Perfectly timed ride, Josh.
Yeah, that's right. I won't claim the timing of that. I think it was just above the head, but very fortunate to get it. Really pleased with how he won. Chris mentioned to me pre-race that he's a horse that needs a bit of confidence, and I thought I'd settle a little bit closer than that, but they were too speedy for him early. I just sung him a little bit of Bob Dylan down the back straight there, and he relaxed quite nicely for me.
I was going to ask, he's placed one of nine coming in today in his Australian runs, that is, and he's got the cash here today. What was the secret? Is it Bob Dylan then?
Yeah, it was just a matter of, I rode him for a little bit of luck early. I stayed in tight and just tried to get him to build his momentum without me asking him to improve all that much. And everyone knows that that's the secret to helping a horse through their gears, and obviously what comes with that is confidence, and it's a good effort.
Okay, so Josh Parr sings Bob Dylan to his horses as they go to the gates. Brother-in-law Tim Clark's just lobbed here at Ascot. He'll be joining us later. What's his Bob Dylan like, Top Cat?
It's a bit better than
average.
The gambler.
Oh, a bit better than the gambler. He's no good at the Kenny Rogers.
He just has to mumble, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's all he has to do. No one's listening. No one's listening. We're going to take a break when we come back. Three more races from Rose Hill.
Harvey Norman Colossal TV and Soundbar Sale on now. With up to a colossal 25% off TVs and up to 25% off soundbars. Grab a massive new TV and sensational sound with up to 25% off TVs. All the big brands, all sizes. Up to 25% off all soundbars. It's bigger than big. It's colossal. Shop in store and online. Just don't miss out. All brands, all TVs, all soundbars. Up to a colossal 25% off now at Harvey Norman. Hurry, ends Monday. No.
The Volkswagen.
Volkswagen 1% finance event is now on, with 1% finance across selected Polo and Golf models. But hurry, for a limited time only.
Volkswagen.
He's interviewed the biggest names in the Australian racing industry. Tuesday, join Ray Thomas for the best of one-on-one from champion jockeys.
They're once-in-generation horses. He's a very special animal.
As it turned out, I think I'm still trying to give a horse a better ride.
To champion trainers.
One stage, there was 12 Group 1 winners standing out the back of his house.
We do have a spit and polish every now and again, but you just move on.
He was very dominant. That was a good memory.
The best of one-on-one with Ray Thomas, 7:30 Tuesday.
Okay, back to Sydney now, and it was Matty Dunn's day again. This is his fifth highway, added to that a country classic, so six in all country-only races that he's taken out. He's unstoppable lately, Duff.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's placed these horses beautifully. He reads the play when, you know, a really good training performance. 1,300 to 1,500 after a month off. I doubted that a little. You know, I thought Al Cabana was the better staying run out of their last run, but proven completely wrong here. This was a masterful ride from this young man, Nick Haywood. I reckon he's the most improved apprentice in Australia. Obviously, he comes in for a bit of criticism later on, which we'll get to. But all in all, he's just cool, calm and collected, this young man, and that was a very, very good ride.
We're quite blessed, though, with the apprentices at the moment in Sydney, aren't we, Duff? We've got him, we've got James Innes Jr., who's riding really well, Andrew yep. Atkins, even Blake McDougall.
Yeah, we've got a few of them around, but this kid looks a horseman. There's a bit of Bowman about him. I know he's tall, and he might have issues later in life, but he looks part of the horse to me. He looks part of the horse. Absolutely. So Nixter was great. He did all the donkey work up front there and battled on very, very well. But all about the winner and the trainer and the jockey.
And well done to Kira Dunn, who travels these horses down from the Woolloombar. They've got it down pat now, and she was interviewed after the race.
Oh, look, he's just flying at the moment. It's fantastic, and fantastic for the owners.
Yeah, a little claim today. Just that little bit of weight relief was very handy the last little bit.
Yeah, I guess, look, when you're racing so consistently, you're going to eventually get hit with weight, and putting a good young jockey on like this has definitely helped us today.
Just talk us through the race. You stuck to the rails and it paid dividends.
Yeah, she said he can go either come out or go inside horses, and I just thought I'd give him an easiest run as possible, and it panned out that way.
You're just in a rich vein of form yourself. Duff just dubbed you the most improved apprentice in Sydney, if not Australia.
I'd like to thank you, Mr. Duffy, for that, but just keep chipping away and hopefully get more opportunities.
Good stuff, well done.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, we move on now to the mile and a half race, and once again it was Chris Waller, and once again it was Big Odds Duff.
He'd been leading in his races of late and been very, very one-paced. Coming into this race, you thought, well, he's looking for a wet track. He's got no sprint about him. But, wow, they turned this into a real, real staying test. And this was, we talk about that previous ride, this was a beauty as well from Schofield. He drew wide. He read the speed of the race. Most people anticipated that he'd be on top of the speed. He peeled out. And he was just last man standing. It's as simple as that. This was a real, real staying test. This Danger is ready to win if he gets some sting out of the track there. De Meister battles on. Look, really couldn't say much about the rest. It was a survival of the fittest there. Pursuit of Honour's had enough. He's done a good job this preparation. He'll go for a spell now, and he'll get his opportunity at that level next preparation.
Well, I thought it was a good example of how when they go real fast in races, how important it is to save ground, as much ground as you can.
Oh, yeah.
Because there we saw a couple of horses come out wide, getting around the slower ones, but it was the jockey that rode for luck and got it.
It's more in staying races as well. You absolutely. Even if it's bias out wide, you're still going to save ground in these staying races. I forgot to mention Zorkan there. Mm. He got held up.
Mr. Steele was all right too.
Mr. Steele was great after doing the pressure. He wants a wet track, but Zorkan got held up on the turn and should have finished closer. He's a promising stayer in his own right.
Okay, here is Chris Waller and Glenn Schofield.
Hindsight's a good judge, Chris, but five goes over the track and distance for three wins. He can stick it out well, this horse.
Yeah, he certainly can. And it was actually one of the owners, Rob Ferguson, pointed out to me that Glenn Schofield was the one that won those three races on him over similar trips. So hence the reason for the change there. But it was a tough staying test the whole race. So our intention was to be up on the speed, but he just couldn't get near that hot speed. And fortunately, he can stay because he toughed it out very well.
Wasn't really the plan to be where I was in the run, but he didn't begin all that well. And geez, they went hell for leather to the first corner. And I thought, well, I'm not going to chase that speed. So I just had to take the position that I was dealt based on the way the race was run, and then ride him accordingly. And he's been pretty good to me, this horse. I've been on him four times before wins, so he's a horse that gives me a lot when I get on him.
Four times four wins, and of course he's won four times now over this trip too.
Yeah, look, he stays pretty well, and of course we thought today, with the track being as firm as it is, it probably negated his best chance, but he certainly found his best form.
Yeah, just a Meister over the concluding stages there, Duff, didn't he?
Seemed to go a bit easy on him, didn't he?
A bit easy, Johann Victoire. So stewards are going to interview Johann at a later date. That's all we know at this stage. But if you watch the replay there, you'll notice De Meister looks like he's going to run third, and he just sort of, it was a bit easy on him late, I thought, and Zorkan gets the cash for third.
That's right.
Race number six was 1500, a benchmark 78, and Hogmanay brought up four for Waller.
Yeah, well, this was a race where we were really worried about, and we, even when we spoke about the race, said, well, this has all come down to initiative. Who's going to take the initiative and ride out of the comfort zone here? And it was young Innes Jr., James Innes Jr., who took the initiative here from the wide draw, just slid across there. The race was all over once he did this. It would landed some. They knew it was going to happen. Well, they did say they were going to ride him closer, but $10 into $5. So it was. It wasn't that it wasn't unexpected. I think this second horse is ready to win. It seemed to have its chance unbiased, but just after missing the start, he just had to do that little bit of work to get into the box seat. He's a big, heavy horse who I think will take benefit from that experience. And he's going to win a couple of races at this level over the summer months. Emberley makes ground up on the inside. Couldn't say much about the others. It was just the run-of-the-race stuff where the leader was well-rated and made it impossible for the back markers to run him down.
Good example of tactics, sort of a level of intent. They announced they're going to go forward. The money went on. Everything just paid off.
Exactly right. They read the play very, very well.
OK, let's hear from Chris Waller and young James Innes.
Win number two for this fellow today. He jumped. It took him a little while to get across it. Once he was there, he was comfortable, and that's been a pretty good win.
Yeah, it was. It was a very mature and decisive ride from James Innes, which was certainly a big key from a bad barrier, so full credit to him, I guess. And the horse ran very well last start at Warwick Farm. He fought hard, didn't really get things go his way that day. And he's backed it up with a good Saturday class win.
Another positive ride, another victory.
Yeah, look, Mr. Waller and the team just left the ball in my court pretty much. His best runs to date are probably back in the field and let him roll home, but with the speed out of it and the way he jumped, with that long back straight, I just let him find a rhythm, and he really got a nice time and skipped clear and was just too good for him.
52.5 kilos, an advantage here today?
Yeah, that was another thing when he jumped the way he did with the low weight, and he's a horse that won't over race, so he was able to get a few cheap ones in and get him rolling on the point of the turn, and he showed him what he got.
Okay, we will come back with the final three races from Rose Hill, and then Tim Clark's going to join us here at Ascot Racecourse to talk about his memorable win on Takedown yesterday. Stay with us.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the program tab.
After the seven-seat Kia Sorento won two Australia's Best Cars Awards, Cars Guide Car of the Year and Drive's Best Family SUV, we did a lap of honour. Around Australia, Kia Sorento, Australia's best SUV.
We're here for the life-changing goals, the lifelong goals, and the long life goals. So wherever you're at, and whatever your goal, AMP is here to help you explore, plan, track, and most importantly, realise your goals, so you can own a better tomorrow.
Sky Racing Tipsters, getting big results.
Bontemps just in front of Maharaj and Bontemps, they hit it. Photo and a real tidy. Close the beaches over the top of them. Sporting Page right on the peg, got the money.
Mark Guest, finding winner after winner.
From last to first, it's Yassi's son, Bill Champagne's making a mess of them. Sir Sagamore goes home to win. Bowler Lewis got up to beat Casino Holic.
Sky Racing Tipsters.
Okay, welcome back, and we're looking at race number 7 now from Rosehill Gardens. And boys, it was Snoopy's day finally.
Yeah, and great tactics by Tommy. Played mower at his own game here. He just seemed to be lost his way a little bit, Snoopy, just sort of going through the motions, but just up to the 1400 with those set of blinkers on and fired out of the barrier, let him know he's in a race. And where Mower, his main opposition on paper, he's a dictator, and he didn't give him the opportunity to do that yesterday. Tommy knew he was on a fit horse. He quickened, he went fast enough, and he was too good. It was quite a solid win. Look, unequivocal, just got held up for a stride there, should have finished a touch closer. Winetail's a teasing run from her, as she can do. Other than that, Mower just couldn't come back in distance. He was beaten at his own game yesterday, but good tactics. Nice to see him back in the winner's stall, doing the world of good.
I think that's the way to ride this horse. You've got to be a bit aggressive on him. You've sort of got to ride him almost a little bit ugly. And get on top of him and stand over. Whether the blinkers worked, whether he could do that without the blinkers on, I'm not too sure. But I just think at his previous start at Canterbury, I think it was, he just sort of, they wanted to, he jumped really well and they held him back. I think Christian was on him that day, obviously under instruction, just to sort of give him a bit of cover. And if you watch through the line of that replay, he's very strong through the line, as he has been at a couple of his runs. So I was really happy to see him spear across.
Good to see him finish off at 1400 too. Mm.
Okay, Michael Hawkes representing the team yesterday and winning jockey Tommy Berry.
Intentions from the gate's pretty clear there. He's just, I wouldn't say run them into the ground, but just always in control.
Yeah, as I said, look, Tommy had a little bit up his sleeve and, you know, he jumped, he got there pretty good. He wanted to over race a little bit and then they sort of took him on and fired him up a little bit. But I think the key with this horse, what Tommy did was just get him well and truly into the straight, kept a lap full of horse and had something for the finish. And you know, the true Snoopy come out today. We've always thought the horse has always had ability, but, you know, just tampering, gear, little things makes a big difference.
The plan was to be positive and just being inside the, sort of in the first three, and look, he's always showed genuine pace, but what a masterful training performance from the Hawks team. They put the blinkers on, stepped him up in troop, and he just blew him away today.
Yeah, how confident were you in the run? He looked to be travelling well.
Yeah, he was. I had to let him roll along early just so I could get him back to me a bit down the side. And once I got him back down the side and I got an easy furlong, I let him hit his top gear pretty much near the top of the straight without moving on him, just to give him a bit of confidence, you know, and hopefully he can go on with it now.
We've seen him previously sort of held up for a run, and today he got out and did all the work himself. Do you feel like that might be the way to ride him?
Oh, look, I think with the blinkers on, yes, because I think it'll be too hard to get him to take a sit. He'll probably go a bit too keen, but when they can roll up on the pace like that and run some genuine sectionals the whole way, it brings a lot of other horses undone. We've seen Mohir do it and in the past, and it was my turn today.
Okay, let's move on to race number 8. And boys, Matty Dunn is not just the highwayman. He can train open class winners in Sydney as well. And Madotti, the mare, who hadn't won for quite a while, almost a year, not quite, gets the job done. You suspected this could happen when you were doing the preview, Duff.
Yeah, look, I thought she had superior form, to tell you the truth. She's dead set. I know she hasn't won in a while, but she's had so many excuses throughout her career, this mare. Madotti, the key to her is rock hard tracks, and she got one yesterday. I reckon she's got room to move as far as improvement's concerned. Look, let's face it, she ran fifth in that Gold Coast Guineas, a strong Gold Coast Guineas, over the Magic Millions Carnival last year. She was only beaten a couple of lengths in a red hot race. So she was just too classy for that opposition yesterday. Well, the odds on, well, the even money favourite Interstellar was, you'd have to say, disappointing. She seemed to travel okay. She wandered off on the point of the turn there. Maybe she does want the sting out of the track.
She was hot in the yard.
She was a little bit hot in the yard as well. But I still think she should have given a little bit more of a kick there, considering her profile. Magic Alibi loomed up and felt that big weight the last little bit there. Pepper Bree, well, just a bob of the head, wasn't it?
Unfortunately.
bad luck for you.
Okay.
Well, he just gives it to me every chance he agrees. Nothing's changed. You might be on the other side of the country, but...
It wasn't me this time.
No, I know. I know, it's okay. He's still hailing the buses on his own, don't worry. There's the bus.
Cool. That's all right. That's all right. Madotti, let's hear from Kira Dunn and Ty Anglin.
Didn't your girl just hit the line?
Oh, she was unbelievable today. It was so good.
With a mare like her, you train at Mwillimbah, you have options all around the place. What was? I mean, you've picked the right race out quite clearly.
Yeah, look, she was nominated in Brisbane as well, and ideally that's where we were going to go, but with a forecast of rain, like Matt pulled the right rein and decided to come down here, which she didn't do much in her trial, and it was sort of a big risk coming down here, a little bit underdone, but she tries so hard and it's just seems to be able to get the best out of her.
You must have had a feeling, I mean, you guys know the horses, she's obviously come back in good order.
Oh look, she has, and she's been so great to the owners. You know, she went to the Magic Millions 2-year-old, 3-year-old, she'll go there again this year and she'll be hard to beat.
I just had to pop out a little bit earlier than I wanted to because Zinzi and Elsie sort of come back in my face and I just popped out and showed daylight, but with this sort of weight, I think it's a big key just to roll into it comfortable, not stop start, and good effort to win. Massive job.
Okay. It's a double for Matty Dunn. His horses are flying at the moment. Must give you a bit of confidence when you jet a leg aboard one of his.
Yeah, definitely. His strike rate in Sydney is incredible, and he brings the right horses down here to win. And, I've had a little bit to do with this filly last year, and she's grown up, she's stronger, and I believe she's going to the Gold Coast again, so it should be exciting.
I know it's for a wonderful cause, and I salute him, and for the money he's raising, well done, Ty Anglin, but thank God we have only got 3 more days of looking at that.
Yeah, that's a real Chopper Reed-esque style of Mo, isn't it?
Oh, dear me. Let's go to the last.
Greg, it was somewhat by the Seagulls outfit, I thought. That at least made a little bit better.
Offset, did you say?
Yeah, offset. Yeah.
Nice way of putting it. Upscale to the last. And Chris Lees and Brenton Abdullah. The jockeys, it was well shared there yesterday. No one got a double. They were all different jockeys in the 9 races. But Chris Lees picked up the last.
Yeah, geez, he's placed her well. She's 3 from 4 this preparation. Got a rest in an 1,100 metre race. That's a no-no in at this course and distance. If these leaders get any favours at all here, they're just unbeatable. That's the way that the course is configured, and she just bounced off the turn there. There's talk about this second horse, Secret Trail. The stewards have adjourned an inquiry into Nick Haywood's ride. Mm. Easy to be critical. You see, he's still got a grip on her here. She missed the start. We can't blame him for that. She got caught wide. We can't blame him for that. Maybe, if anything, he misread the speed of the race and over that distance. You know, she seemed to be still travelling. But I think it's more comes down to that she missed the start on her own accord.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think that's been adjourned, that inquiry.
It's been adjourned. He'll have a chat to the stewards during the week. It's hard to say, though, because we saw actually earlier in the year...
If we can have another look at that side on.
Remember Blake Shin on, what was that horse of Snowden's? Another Snowden horse earlier this year. There was a big inquiry about it.
Yep.
The name escapes me. But quite a lot of the Snowden gallopers, they like to be held up and then pounce at the 200, so he might have...
You see it here. Look, he seems still to have hold on over there with 300 to go, and now he just asked her for that effort, but the lead is off and gone. It was a good run, and I don't think there's any doubt that she probably should have won, but was that through him trying to cuddle her, or was that through mainly her missing the start and being caught wide?
Yeah, exactly. And look, even 2 or 3 strides past the post, she still hadn't picked up the front runner.
Yeah, look, I backed her, and I'm not going to be that critical of it. I've got no doubt she should have won, and I wish he would have pressed the button a little bit earlier, because we'll never know.
Yeah.
And that's obviously what they're looking into, and we'll watch that inquiry. Let's hear from Chris Lees and also Brenton Abdullah.
A bit of quality about this girl. She keeps on winning.
Yeah, she's quite adaptable. Really nice mare. I've always thought she's better, probably ridden with a trail, but Brenton summed it up pretty well. was able to cross and find the fence, and she showed a really good kick on straightening and was able to hold him off.
A bit of a break between the runners just to manage her and keep her happy?
Yeah, look, I thought she was probably, with the run she had at her most recent start, I thought she was entitled to win a little easier, and we just thought a week out at the farm and just give that 4 week gap, I think it really freshened her up nice and she produced today.
Look, the plan was to be somewhere in the first three or four. I thought Blake McDougall would probably cross and lead and I'd be outside him, but I was sort of left there, no one wanted the lead. I pinged, so I took control of it, and it's been an advantage today because it's sort of to be close there anyway. So when I was able to control the speed, I pushed the trigger probably earlier than I usually do, but I was just confident that she'd give me a good little turn of foot for 150 metres and I could put three or four on him, and then she was going to take some running down, and she saved me again. It's been a long hard day, and she's got me out of trouble for the day, so it's good.
Okay, that is Sydney, and we are going to take a break. When we come back, Top Cat's going to join us. He's going to sit next to Officer Dibble here, and we'll have a chat to Timmy about his wonderful win on takedown yesterday in the Winterbottom. Stay with us.